The recording is on, Olivier.
Thanks very much, Julia. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone, or wherever you are. This is the ALAC welcome call with our new NOMCOM ALAC selectees. Joining us today, we have Rafid Fatani and Leon Sanchez, who have been selected by the nominating committee to be on the at-large advisory committee. So the aim of this call is to effectively, introduce ourselves, I guess, introduce the ALAC and how we work to our newcomers, and also to be able to answer any questions that both Rafid and Leon would have about the ALAC and about how things work, et cetera. We'll also be going through the website, the training guides, all of the great information that you're going to have to, I guess, read at some point and to learn about so as to find out how things work in this part of the very large ICANN world, this very small part of the very large ICANN world. In fact, we can just start immediately with just a quick introduction. So I'm Olivier Xepin-Leblanc. I'm the chair of the ALAC and have been since the Cartagena meeting, which I believe was in November 2010. Time goes very fast, and you'll find out soon enough that you'll refer to time as being an ICANN meeting in a certain location, not really remembering what the date was. In between ICANN meetings, I chair quite a few calls. We've got a lot of working groups as well, which are chaired by other ALAC members and indeed also members of at-large. The difference between ALAC and at-large, I think that's probably the first thing to be looking at, is the ALAC at-large advisory committee is the committee of 15 people, of which 10 are selected by the regional at-large organizations and one is selected per region. So five in total selected by the nominating committee. And the at-large community is the complete, I would say, the complete pyramid that goes from the ALAC all the way to the RALOs and all the way to the at-large structures. RALO is regional at-large structure, regional at-large organization, and the ALS is an at-large structure, and these are all of the different organizations that have joined the at-large community and whose input we try and collect and bring into the ICANN policy processes. So the first part of our call, agenda item number two, is the introduction of the new ALAC NOMCOM selectees. And looking at the agenda, it looks as though it's Rafid Fatani who's first and who could tell us a little bit about himself. Raf, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivia. So my name is Rafid Fatani. I am from Saudi Arabia. As you can hear from my tone of voice, I have a very British accent. I've lived in the UK pretty much most of my life. I started getting involved with ICANN and internet policy from, I think, since 2006-2007. I got involved with the IGF, the Internet Governance Forum, and I've been heavily involved since. I worked at the UN Secretariat there in Geneva for a while, and I helped set up and run the UK IGF here for a while. I have only actually attended one ICANN meeting, which was in Paris a while back, so that was a good crash course into ICANN. But I did my both my graduate studies, my master's and my PhD thesis with a large section on ICANN and its function and its role and its committees and subcommittees and its reforms. So I have a very brief but good understanding of the structure. That's about it, really. If you have any questions, ask away, and I'll be more than happy to help answer them.
Thanks very much, Rafid. Any overwhelming reason why you were interested in joining at large and being involved in ICANN?
I've always been fascinated and interested in kind of help shape internet policy on a global level. So that's always been part of what I do, either academically or otherwise. ICANN seems to be the obvious route in which I can look at this from some would argue from a non-policy perspective, but still from a technical perspective. And I've often been put in positions where I've represented various stakeholders, and I think I'm in a good position to represent the community that I do now, or will do, post the Buenos Aires meeting. So hopefully I will be able to contribute and add value being one of the selectees.
Hey, great. You have 2.4 billion people to represent. I hope that's enough pressure on your shoulders. let's move over to Leon Sanchez. Welcome, Leon. And could you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Yes, Olivier, thank you very much. Well, I'm an attorney, an intellectual property attorney, and I studied at the National University in Mexico, and I have been involved leading the Creative Commons Project for Mexico. I am the legal co-leader for the Creative Commons Project, and I drafted the first Internet Users Rights Act in Mexico, which didn't get passed because of a lot of pressure from the lobbying industry. But, well, it was like the first step we took into analyzing users' rights regarding the Internet in Mexico. And, well, I've been a fellow for ICANN in two occasions. My first contact with ICANN was at the ICANN meeting in Mexico City back a while ago. As you said, you only remember meetings, not dates. And, I tried to get involved with the at-large community back then, but somehow I... Since it was my first meeting, it was very confusing for me to get into the ICANN world. I really didn't know how to start or where to begin getting involved. So I think I just took a couple of steps away from ICANN until I got interested back a couple of years ago when I joined ISOC in Mexico also. I'm a member of the ISOC community here in Mexico, too. And, I got interested in ICANN and applied for the fellowship program. So I got awarded this fellowship for the Prague meeting, and I went back to the Prague meeting. Then I got also awarded for the Beijing meeting. And, after that, I applied for the open position for the ALAC to represent Latin America and the Caribbean. So, I have, as Rafid, quite a bit of an understanding of how ICANN structure is founded. And, I had the pleasure to hear to what Olivier had to say to the fellows a couple of times, and was very interesting. So, my principal aim is to try to represent users' rights within ICANN at the ALAC. And do my best work available.
Oh, great. Do you know Alejandro Pizanti?
Yes, I do know Alejandro Pizanti. We work together in several projects. He's the chair for ISOC Mexico right now, and actually we're going to this process we're beginning to rejuvenate the chapter, and I might as well be the next chair of ISOC Mexico. So yes, I do know I'll have the chance.
Don't be too sure about having enough time to be the next chair. I'm sure you will be. I mean, I'm currently the chair of the ISOC chapter in London or in the UK. That's entirely compatible with what we do. Effectively bringing in the input from internet users out there. You will notice that we have a few other people who are on the call as well, and those people are at-large staff. And I think I'll give them a chance now to introduce themselves, because you're going to work a lot with them. They really are a great bunch of people who work extremely hard to support us and to do all of the hard work. We do a lot ourselves as well, but it really is a good synergy between staff and volunteers. So I think I'll let Heidi start and introduce everyone.
Thank you, Olivier. Hi, welcome, Rashid and Leon. I'm great pleasure to meet you virtually, and I'm very much looking forward to working with you, as I'm sure my entire team is. I'm just going to very briefly introduce our team, and I'll give a little background of myself, and then I'll allow my staff to do the same. We have three full-time people. I'm the director at large, and we have Sylvia Vavanko. She is the manager for the regions. There are, again, five regions, the RALOs, regional at-large organizations. We have Matt Ashtiani, who is the policy specialist. He is the one who you'll be dealing with primarily for the detailed work on the various policy statements. And he's a technical whiz and works on all of the voting, et cetera. And then we have three shared call management or secretariat support who do all of the fantastic work that really the community cares about. So one currently is on leave, maternity leave, Gisela Gruba. Then we have Natalie Perrigan, who is on the call, and we have Julia Charvalon. They are both located in the south of France, lucky ladies, and Gisela is based in Bath in London. Sylvia is in Lima, and Matt is in with me here in Los Angeles. Just a bit of background on myself. I have a sort of a mixed background in academia. I did my PhD in COTS at the LSE on international political economy and civil society issues, then worked for various international NGOs, umbrella organizations in London and in Geneva. And now I've been with ICANN since 2008. And as you, Leon, my first meeting was also the Mexico City. That was the summit for us. So that was a big event. And we're looking forward to the one that's going to be happening in London this next June. So I'm going to hand it over quickly to Sylvia, just introduce herself a little bit, and then Matt, and then Natalie and Julia. Sylvia, please.
Yes. Hello, Leon and Rafid. This is Sylvia Vivanco. I am from Lima, Peru, and I am the RALO manager. In this capacity, I help the RALOs planning their activities, managing the agendas, the budget proposals, and basically working as a liaison between the five RALOs and the rest of the community and ICANN staff. A little bit of background about myself. I am a lawyer. And before joining ICANN, I worked with the United Nations in the Committee of the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space in this as a secretariat capacity, in the Commission secretariat capacity. And before then, I was corporate counsel for many years in the telecommunications industry. So I am very familiar with telecommunications, market liberalization, et cetera, telecom regulators around the world. I work with in the industry for many years, but I got interested in internet issues through my work as a telecom lawyer. So I'm very excited to be part of the ICANN staff and looking forward to working with you. And if you have any questions about the RALOs, how they work, or you need to have more information, just get in contact with me and the rest of the staff. We'll be happy to help you.
All right, thank you very much. Sylvia, Matt?
Hi, this is Matt Ashtiani. My main roles within the group are, policy development of the ALAC and the RALOs. I also will assist you with any problems you have with the wiki, which is one of the main ways of collaboration between everyone throughout the different regions. For my undergraduate degree, I went to UCLA. And for my graduate degree, I went to Trinity College Dublin in Ireland, where I specialized in the form of political science and international relations. I've been at ICANN for 4 years now, and I've been with the at-large team for about a little over 2 years now. I think 2.5, actually.
Thank you, Matt. Natalie?
Hello there, how about that? This is Natalie. It's lovely to meet you too. I'm part of the at-large secretariat. I'm part of the three colleagues who work 50% for at-large and then 50% for the GNSO. You'll see me a lot on the conference calls with the scheduling of them and running of them. So especially if you have any technical difficulties, join calls or worries before them, please don't hesitate to write to us. We'll help you with pleasure. Alongside that, I also, at the moment, I'm responsible for processing ALS applications, that's at large structured applications. That's a new responsibility, which I'm very pleased about. And so yes, I'm the same as everyone else. I'm available if you need advice or information regarding anything at large related.
Thank you. Natalie, Julia, please.
Hello, Rafine and Leo. I'm Julia Charvelin, and I do the same work as 50-50, so 50 at large and 50% secretariat for the GNSO. So just for you to know, if you need any help for scheduling meetings or management calls or any other things, well, you just please email us and we'll be happy to help you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. That's our team. If you have any questions, so as I've just written in the chat, we aim very much, because we are regionally distributed, we aim to be a pretty much 24/7 team. We sometimes take weekends off, but we're always on our mobiles. So, you know, you will be able to be in touch with us over the weekends for the most part as well. So, Olivia, back to you if you want to provide an introduction then.
Thanks very much, Heidi. It's Olivier speaking here, and I'm going to introduce you to the first rule on our conference call, which is to always start with introducing yourself and always go, and I sometimes don't do it, I guess, unfortunately, but when speaking, I often say this is, well, for me, it's Olivier for the transcript record, because those calls are transcribed. Not only are they transcribed, but we have many calls that are also interpreted in Spanish and in French. And so when you have two people that speak one after the other and don't introduce themselves each time, the translation or the interpretation in Spanish or in French sounds very bizarre, as if that person was speaking to themselves. And so it's a good habit to take to introduce yourself when you take on the floor. So that said, I think that perhaps one thing I could do is to perhaps take you through, and I guess, Leon, you will have seen this a number of times since you went to Beijing, and also, well, you wouldn't have seen it in Mexico City, but you would have seen it in Prague, and that's the little presentation that I do for the fellows. I'm going to fly through it very quickly because I guess there are some parts that you both know. You probably know quite well, having applied. Let me just share my screen and see what we can do. Let's see how that works. Oh, I see upload.
I think Julia is preparing to post them. Let's take a look where we are.
Julia has beaten me to press the button.
That is our aim.
This is the problem, by the way, gentlemen. The staff anticipates what you're about to do, and just as you're about to do it, someone's beaten you to it, and it all happens magically. Slides will be up in one moment. Mind readers, yes, indeed, Leon. Well, in the meantime, while this loads up, do you have any general questions with regards to the structure, how we, with staff and so on? Just to say, there is a general email address, which is staff@atlarge.icann.org. That's the address, really, to send any requests through, any questions through. That goes to everyone on the staff. And the good thing is that the so if one person is not there for the day or is taking the day off or is unable to answer, someone else will be able to pick it up quite quickly. So here we go, At-Large Advisory Committee. That's the Beijing presentation, I was going to go through the latest one, the Durban one, but the Beijing is fine enough as well. Let's see if we can, oh, I can control that. So here we go. The ICANN multi-stakeholder model, I think you pretty much know it. I've taken the board out of this. What we have here are the different component parts of ICANN. Most of them are multi-stakeholder models. They might be partial multi-stakeholder models, but most of them are multi-stakeholder models. You're going to hear a lot about the GNSO. Let me just take that little thing. Here we go. I don't know if that works. You're going to hear a lot about these guys, the GNSO, Generic Name Supporting Organization, and that's because they are the part of ICANN that is effectively building the policy for the new generic top-level domains that are going to be launched. As you probably know, there are over 1,000 applications that were filed for different new extensions. So instead of just .com, .net, .org, you might have .hotel, .car, .app, I was going to say .amazon. You're probably not going to get .amazon, or maybe you will, I don't know. with no judgment on what you're going to get. These are just examples. There is an enormous amount of policy work that goes on in the GNSO, and the at-large community is intimately linked to this work, both by having some of our volunteers work in the GNSO working groups, but also we have a lot of policy comments to make, and the comments that are then being voted on by the ALAC, by the committee, that becomes a statement, and we send statements to the public comment processes, or we send statements over to the board or to various people, sometimes the chair of the GNSO, really depending on what the subject is or who is running the consultation. I mean, not use the word who is in one word. That's actually one huge policy issue that's been going on for a very long time at ICANN, and you'll soon learn enough about it. And at large, as we are here, we can't really be saying we represent Internet users, because representing 2.4 billion people is pretty hard. What we can say, though, I guess, is that we act in the best interest of Internet users. We're all Internet users. We have connections to our local communities. We do ask people around us about what their feeling is and what their points of view are, and we channel this into the ICANN processes, assuming that the majority of Internet users out there have got a similar points of view as we do. Another important part of ICANN are these people. You must have heard about the Government Advisory Committee, the GAC. These are the world's governments that have come together, and there are, I think, 130 of them now. So there's still about 25 or 50 governments that still have not joined the GAC, that have not sent delegates to the GAC. And they have a mission, I guess, to bring the input from the governments into the ICANN policy development processes. They are an advisory committee, just like the ALAC, but they have a bylaw-mandated advantage, I guess we could call, that when they say something to the ICANN board, the ICANN board has to take it into account. And if they do adopt it, then the ICANN board has to go forward with it. If they don't, the ICANN board has to provide some significant explanation as to why the advice from the GAC is not taken. And you will have seen some of the drama which has happened in the past few years when the GAC asked for some specific things to be done and the board decided to go against the GAC advice. And at large, we also provide advice, and I guess some of it is taken up, some of it is not taken up by the board. Recently, we have found that a lot of our advice is being taken on, and so we've somehow reached a very significant position in the overall structure. And that's, of course, because ultimately the ICANN, in our point of view, should really be accountable to the world's Internet users. It's an organization that's there to coordinate the domain name system and make sure that it remains stable and you've got fair competition, etc. So we've got a very important part to play in the overall structure.
to make sure that these ideals, these goals, are actually achieved. The at-large organizational diagram, you probably are very well aware of. Five regions, and as I mentioned earlier, you have two people selected by the regional at-large organization. So you've got Africa, Afralo, Asia, Pacific is actually Asia, Australasia, and Pacific Islands. So that would be AP RALO and Europe, EU RALO, etc. And the nominating committee appointees who are based over here. And so you'll find that we have Leon Sanchez, who's right here, and we have Raf Fatani, who I believe is here now. Raf, you're in red. Leon, you are in green. The ALAC itself selects, the ALAC and the ALSs and the at-large structures all select someone to go on the board, to go on seat number 15. That was a recent addition that was a couple of years ago. This started. Our person on the board now is Sébastien Bacholet. He is very busy. The thing, though, about board members is that they don't represent their community. They have to act in the best interest of ICANN. So it's a fine line for Sébastien to advocate our point of view, but at the same time, make sure that his position doesn't clash with what would be good for ICANN as a whole. That's the overall structure. BLSs are at-large structures. RALOs are the regional at-large organizations. If we go to the next thing, so you'll see what are we effectively. So there's more than 150 at-large structures. Heidi put there on the chat that there are 158 of them, which is a fair amount. It's still a number that is growing in size. I think we have two or three currently that are in the pipeline, new at-large structure applications. And as I mentioned earlier, some of them are Internet Society chapters, some of them are senior citizens organizations or organizations that bring computing and Internet to deprived communities. It's a very, very diverse group. Which has got an advantage, which is that whatever subject is being discussed in ICANN, we always have some people who will know a lot about it. So we're able to effectively put them on the case and get them to work and produce statements and so on. The inconvenient, I guess, is that because it's a very wide group, you don't have a single way to bring everyone together. And so sometimes you'll think that the whole at-large community is a little bit disjointed, but it's a reflection of the world that we live in today. It's a mirror of the overall world out there. And you'll notice I use the world out there because ICANN has often been accused of being on its own little ivory tower, and you will find sometimes that it does feel a little bit like this. Fortunately, our community is one that is very outward-looking and outward-facing, and we try and bridge that gap between the thoughts of the people out there and the thoughts of some of the people in ICANN who might not quite agree with each other. So what do we do? I've touched on this a little bit earlier. One of the main things that we work on is the issuing of comments in response to ICANN public comment requests. And we'll go on that wiki page in a moment so you can have a look at what's a public comment request. We can issue comments on pretty much any subject, process, policy, structure, or topic that is important to comment on in ICANN. And this is interesting because not everyone in ICANN knows that. So some people think that at large, is only able to comment on GNSO policy, and that's not the case. We're able to comment on a lot more than that, as long as it affects Internet users. And as we know, what ICANN does very often affects or has the potential to affect Internet users. We have, on some occasion, issued comments on some external processes linked to ICANN. For example, the renewal of the IANA contract, That's the contract for running the route. The route, which is the main top-level domain database that effectively is the link between the Internet protocol, the IP addresses, and the top-level domains. Some would call it the center of the Internet. I guess it's not really the center, but it certainly is a very important resource, and that's run by ICANN, and when the contract was up for renewal, the ALAC issued a statement that it sent into the public comment process, which the U.S. Department of Commerce had launched. As I mentioned earlier, some of our members, and not only ALAC, but also people from at large and from our ALSs, take part in cross-community working groups within ICANN. At the moment, there are not that many of them. I think there might be one or two. No recent cross-community working groups have been created. The cross-community working group is one that is chartered by more than one part of ICANN. So it would be co-chartered by, say, the CCNSO, the GNSO, and the ALAC. And so there would be a single charter that all three parts of the community would adopt. It sometimes is a bit difficult because the aims of the CCNSO might be different to those of the GNSO and different to ours, and so it's sometimes a bit of a long-winded process. What we do, though, often is to take part in pure, when we are invited, in pure CCNSO processes. So there might be a policy development going on in the CCNSO, and they might invite people from other parts of the community to join. And so we would send volunteers to be part of those working groups. But we've also got, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of people that work in the GNSO working groups. It's a bit time-consuming for some of them. Some have been going on for a very long time, so it's a bit of an uphill struggle sometimes because there's just so much to digest at the same time. But I guess that after a while in at large, you'll be able to feel confident enough to go and volunteer for a GNSO working group. An important part of our work is to relay the ICANN message to Internet users around the world. Now, I'm not meaning this as to we have to go out there and evangelize and say ICANN is the best thing since sliced bread, because actually it isn't. So that would be asking you to lie. No, rather, the ICANN message is really relay the fact, for example, that there are new generic top-level domains that are coming out there. How will that affect people in the local communities around the world? Will there be some positive effects, negative effects? The only way to find out is to relay that message and really try and work out with those users out there whether that's going to be good or bad for them. And then finally, we've also got one pretty important new process, I guess, and that's coordinating the filing of new generic top-level domain objections from the community. That's an operational thing. When the new GTLDs, you're going to hear that GTLD term a lot in the next year, couple of years, when the new GTLDs were launched, there was an opportunity for objections to be filed, and there was you could have anyone file an objection, but of course one needed to fund the objection, and that was rather expensive. The GAC was able to emit some advice, as they call it, on the new GTLDs, which some of which actually resulted in also an objection from the GAC, and the ALAC was able to channel two types of objections, one being limited public interest objection, and the other one being the community objection. So, for example, if a new GTLD is detrimental to one of our communities, we could file an objection to that new GTLD. We've ended up filing, there were quite a few. We had a working group that was set up, and there were quite a few objections that were considered, that we received from parts of our community. And finally, we focused on only one string, and that was .health. And we ended up filing an objection against three out of the four applicants for .health. The fourth applicant did not receive an objection because they produced a piece of a document, I guess, which reassured us that, they would reassure the majority on the committee, on the at-large advisory committee, that it wouldn't be as detrimental to our communities as the others. That process is still ongoing, and there's still a working group that's following up with that. That's what we do, effectively. How do we do it? Well, we do it as a bottom-up process. You must have heard that. Some people call it bottoms-up. In the UK, bottoms-up means having a pint of beer and downing it in one. In the US, I'm not quite sure. It might mean bottom-up, but anyway, I tried.
It means the same, Olivier.
It means the same. So
it means the same.
Thank you. Thank you, Heidi. So effectively, you'll see a lot of people using the term bottoms-up, and you can have a smirk. You're allowed to have a smirk when you hear that and think, ugh, what an idiot. Sorry, this call is recorded. I never think such a thing when I hear bottoms up. But as far as bottom up is concerned, really, we have the input coming from the at-large structures through the regional at-large organizations, so ALS, through the RALO, and then over to the ALAC. So as an ALAC member, you really have to listen to the voices in your community and in your part of the world, but also the voices from all the regional at-large structures and all of the RALOs. That's the way that it effectively works. If I wanted something to happen, being over in the ALAC, I'd probably first thing would be to ask the RALOs and say, what do your at-large structures think about this? The top-down is not seen as a very good thing in this community. It's interesting because that really is the first operational bottom-up multi-stakeholder model that we've got. The IGF is an interesting model, but it's not actually an operational model as such. No decisions get taken. As far as we're concerned, we end up with a decision at the end of our process, and that decision has the potential to affect millions and millions of people out there. So it's a pretty serious process that we're in charge of. It's also very novel. I see ICANN as being very much an experiment because you do have a lot of people out there that are looking at the way the bottom-up multi-stakeholder model, they're looking at how it works or how it doesn't work and thinking, well, can this be applied to other means of governance elsewhere, perhaps in a more political environment, etc.? Let me give you a quick example of an at-large structure input. This here is a response to a public comment request. So, and we'll take you to the public comment page in a moment. But when ICANN wants to have, what would they say, they ask the community for some input, they put the public comment request on a web page. That's carried over by Matt over to our own wiki, which is some kind of web system where we all have logins and we can get into it and make changes and amendments and comment on the page, etc. Matt puts it on our wiki and sends out a call for comments in our community. So ICANN basically puts this, asks for those comments. The first thing really that happens is that there is a discussion on the ALAC on whether a comment should be required. And in fact, we often ask also the RALOs to have a discussion. And that discussion will undeniably ask for input from our at-large structures. The ALAC announce mailing list is a list where only staff can post, and I can post as well to it. That goes to all of our at-large structures and to all of our ALAC members. So they are all aware of that public comment request that's out there, and they are all very welcome to bring their comments in and say, well, I think we need to have a comment on that. So if we do have a comment on this, then someone will be picked or will volunteer. Hopefully most people volunteer, but sometimes one has to be volunteered by someone else to produce a first draft. And producing a first draft is really sometimes just jotting down a few lines to give an idea of which direction
you think the statement should go. But also some people produce a first draft that's already quite polished and that's got quite a number of paragraphs, etc. Now, you could have a first draft, and then, of course, that draft is put on the wiki, and the question after that is there a consensus on that draft? Because there are times when you produce that draft and people will not agree and they'll comment against it. So usually the pen holder and sometimes pen holders, there are sometimes two, three, four people that work on the same statement together, would incorporate the comments of the people that have commented if they basically agree with the majority of the comments that are there. And again, there is always a question, is there consensus? Are you actually, are all the comments coming in bringing you over to a conclusion, or are you actually starting to diverge in different locations? If there's no agreement between all of the input that we have, then it's very unlikely that the ALAC will actually vote for the statement and that the statement will have a majority of those votes. So we prefer not to issue the statement at that time, even though some of the work has already been done. But in general, what we do is to find consensus one way or other, even if it means having to cut out some bits of our statement. And we end up with some kind of consensus, sometimes strong consensus, sometimes there's a weak consensus. And at that point, the ALAC would issue a final draft, a final statement, and would then vote on it. And usually it's a five-day online vote. That's very important. All ALAC members have to vote on all the votes that go through. It's an electronic vote for the majority of them, which means you'll receive an electronic ballot on your email that's yours, personally yours, and you click on it, and it'll send you over to the big health system, and you can vote on the statement itself. And when the statement has been voted on and collects a majority of votes, then the statement is finally released as a statement of the ALAC. Could be a one-page document, could be a 10-page document, or even more. But that statement then is sent to whoever we were going to send it to, and it's taken particularly seriously because it shows in its introduction, staff produces an introduction to explain how we reached that statement, who worked on it, who were the pen holders, and what process we used to actually reach that consensus. And I think that with time, this has been very well recognized by people in ICANN, that we've got a process here that somehow works and really brings the majority of the points of view of our community. One small problem between this point here, the beginning, let's say day one, and this point here, the statement released, we often have only 21 days to do that. 21 days means effectively that we're constantly rushing between the time we're asked, the community has asked for a statement and, you know, for comments, and we release our statement. It's the first part of the public comment process, 21 days of for the initial comment period, and then there's another 21 days minimum amount of time for the reply period in case we wish to reply to a comment that was filed by someone else or another part of the community. Hopefully at some point, due to a lot of pressure that we're putting onto ICANN to tell them that it's pretty crazy, you sometimes have to work so hard, so quickly, we might be given a little bit more time in the future. There are times when we're not able to do this statement in 21 days. We usually advise whoever is in charge of the public comment request that we will be filing a statement a little bit late, and usually that we're given the green light to be able to do so, and that's taken into account. I think that's the gist of it. The next one is just a standard bottom-up process. When there's no public comment, and that's when we just decide that we wish to comment on something. And that's very similar to the other system. Here we start actually with an at-large structure wishing to file a comment about something they feel strongly about.
They first try and find consensus at RALO level. The RALOs can discuss the matter with other RALOs. In general, if three RALOs, a minimum of three out of the five RALOs, feel very strongly about something, then it's deemed that there is consensus on this, and the RALOs will engage the ALAC on that. And then we've got the same process with consensus at ALAC level. Someone somewhere along the line picks up a pen, and we end up with a statement at the end. There's always the ALAC vote, very important. Without a vote, a comment from the ALAC is not a statement. We then would call it a correspondence when there is not a vote, and it certainly has less of a strength, less power than an ALAC statement. So that's pretty much the whole process. I'm not sure whether, should we go directly into the resources, or I tell you what, first let's open the floor for questions. Rafid, Leon, if you have questions at this point, now's the time to ask.
All clear from here.
Okay, thank you, Rafid. I see Leon has put his hand up. Aha, you've found that one. That's important. Yes, I should have told you about this. I guess it's pretty self-explanatory how to use the Adobe Connect. So, Leon, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. This is Leon Sanchez. And my question is, how do we coordinate efforts between different at-large representatives? For example, I know that Natalia Enciso is another representative from Latin America and the Caribbean, and Fatima Cambronero will be taking a seat on the next meeting as well as I will. So is there any guidelines that can be useful for us to understand how we are supposed to interact with each other?
There's no guideline as such. It's Olivier speaking. There's no guideline as such. Of course, you'll have all their email addresses and so on, so that's no big deal. But we have several mailing lists that are in place to make sure that when discussions take place, they are both going to all of the ALAC members, but also to some extent to the at-large members, and that there is a... that there is a constant flow of information that's transparent as well. So the various major mailing lists that we have, I mentioned the at-large, ALAC announce, which was just a one-way distribution list. Then we've got the ALAC mailing list that we often call the ALAC working list. That has all of the ALAC members, but also the regional leaders that are on there. So regional leaders being the chair of the RALO, the vice chair of the RALO, the secretariat of the RALO. Some RALOs have a chair and vice chair. Some just have a chair and a board or a chair and a secretariat. All of these people are on the ALAC mailing list. And the ALAC mailing list archives can be publicly consulted by anyone. So whatever you write on there is indexed by Google and can be found later on. Then there is the at-large list, which has wider distribution because it's got many of the at-large structure representatives, but not everyone is on there. So in general, we do have discussions on that as well, maybe to a sort of slightly lesser extent when we discuss policy. It really depends because not everyone, as I said, is on the at-large list. And then we have the ALAC internal list, which is not publicly accessible. So it's only for the ALAC and for the regional leaders, and the archives are private. That list is generally only used for things like travel requests or when we have logistical things like, for example, the flights, flight delays or accommodation that will take place at an ICANN meeting. I try usually to discourage any policy discussion from taking place on the ALAC internal list because it's not publicly archived.
and we really try to stick to as much transparency as we can have, so that we can't be accused of backroom deals and this sort of stuff, which we often hear about outside of ICANN, but I assure you, in our community, transparency is a key part. And we probably are more transparent than some other parts of ICANN. Sometimes it comes back to bite us, but because I guess if we want to share discussions on a policy document, then we might have people finding out what we're up to before we actually release a statement. But that's all part of the way that we work. I guess as an ALAC representative who is related to the Lacorallo part of the community, you will no doubt have some bilateral discussions with your colleagues, both on the ALAC but also with your colleagues on the Lacorallo leadership. So Jose Arce being the chair at the moment, and Sylvia Herlin later being the secretariat of Lacorallo. And same for you, Rafid. You'd have Holly Reich as the chair of APRALO, and there are two vice chairs in APRALO, one who is Cyrenush Vardanyan, the other one being Fouad Bajwa. And you also have a secretariat, whom I believe is Pavan Bodrani at the moment, and staff might correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, Olivier, just a clarification. The secretary is actually ISOC Hong Kong, but Pavan is the representative who is serving as that secretariat.
There you go. I stand corrected. Thank you, Heidi. So these are the different people. There's no real... I mean, there might be coordination between people in the same RALO. Certainly, there would be some discussion taking place at RALO level as well. And there is one thing, though. ALAC members are not required to follow what their RALO says. On the bylaws, the ALAC members really are free to choose as to which way they want to go. Now, obviously, for your relation with your RALO, it probably is probably better to listen to your RALO and so on, and not just do as you please. But it's not something that's bylaw mandated. And I know of some ALAC members that will listen to the RALO and follow the instructions from their RALO, and I know of others who will listen to the RALO and then form their own opinion. In general, I'm not going to judge as to which way to go forward. That really would be up to you to choose. Any other questions or thoughts on this? I note we're already at the top of the hour, but do you have a few more minutes, Leon, Rafid?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much for the explanation. It was very clear, Olivia.
Okay, thanks. Right, now, perhaps we can look then at the resources that we have. There are a few resources that are particularly important. There is the at-large website, which is the general... Now, who wants to go onto that to show us this? Da-da-da-da.
So we're going to just briefly... Is there any way that we can bring that up, or is it... Okay, excellent.
Let me just share my screen. I'm going to... How do we do that? Boom. I don't know whether you can see this. Can you see that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fantastic. So you've got the at-large website, which is over here. That's atlarge.icann.org or www.atlarge.icann.org. What's important about this website is that a lot of the information on there is okay, but maybe more of the information on there is also inaccurate and a bit out of date. This is not the main website that we operate out of as far as our work is concerned. This really is a public-facing website with the information as to what is at large. And it's the ICANN webmasters that are in charge of this website. So whatever update we need to do, we have to ask Matt or Heidi, and they have to transmit this over to the webmasters, the ICANN webmasters, and sometimes there's a delay in doing this, which means that sometimes you end up with terrible things. let's have a look. Let's see. The next ICANN meeting, for example, that's the Buenos Aires, Argentina meeting, as you can see. So that's been updated. That's good. Most of the pages on here are helpful for newcomers, and I guess you can go through them, but you'll find that there will be some terrible things sometimes. Do I go on current issues, for example? Here we go. So the non-lawyer's guide to the May 2009 registrar accreditation agreement. I'm really sorry, we're in 2013. And so some of it is a bit out of date, and so I wouldn't recommend spending too much time on this. Perhaps we can go over to the next one. Heidi, do you have anything to say that's better than what I have to say about the at-large website?
Well, yes, just very briefly.
Go ahead.
Olivier, and yeah, just very briefly for the future, Olivier and Matt and I have been discussing updating the website, and fortunately, Chris Gift, who is the Vice President for Digital Engagement, and I have been working on plans for updating this, and it looks like he put a bid out for some people to update this outside, an outside group to update that. So it looks like that's going to be moving ahead, and details to be announced shortly. But Olivier, your wait seems to be almost over.
Okay, thank you. I've waited long enough, and I've considered many occasions purchasing a stick of dynamite or virtual dynamite and dynamiting this website, so I'm glad that it will go soon or get amended. There are a couple of helpful things on there. One of them is the calendar, which takes you to the ICANN at-large calendar, and that effectively has a calendar with most of the things that are taking place. So, for example, today, you would have the at-large capacity building working group call from 1800 to 1900 UTC. We work in UTC time, so 1800 UTC is 1900 British summer time, but it's 76, is it 1500 or 1400 in Mexico at the moment? Probably like 2 p.m. or something.
Anyway,
it's 10 a.m. Sorry, what time is it?
It's 10 a.m.
Oh, 10 a.m., goodness. Oh, yeah, so you're way further west than I thought. Okay, so it's 10 a.m., but I guess you'll have to work it out. You've got some websites that let you work out the time related to UTC. And so we know that there is this working group call that's taking place later on today. And then you've got the other days next week and the weeks after and so on. There is one ALAC monthly call, usually on the third week of each month. Is it third or fourth week? The last week of each month, effectively, on a Tuesday. And that takes place at 1400 UTC. That's one that you will be required to attend. And until you take office in Buenos Aires, I hope that you'll be able to join some of the ALAC monthly calls, and we'll have, so it'll give you a better idea of how the monthly calls go. It usually is an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, but it's that's really where all of the ALAC 15-member committee and also the regional leaders meet virtually and discuss issues. So the calendar is one thing that you need to look at. The other interesting thing is the correspondence. The correspondence is a list of all of our statements that we have released, with the latest ones that you see here, the at-large statement on the rights protection mechanism requirements, and then there was one, the ALAC statement on the community priority evaluation guidelines update from ICANN, et cetera, et cetera. Now, how do you reach this? How do you reach these statements? And this is where the next one is, and I'm going to go to my to this thing here, if I can find it. I can go on that. So we got the correspondence. Then we got the policy development. And that's where we develop policy. That really is Matt's backyard, I guess, one could call it. That's the page that Matt Ashtiani keeps on updating, and that's where we build our statements. So I would say that you would be very highly advised to bookmark this page
And that's where you find out current open statements, statements that are open for consultation. You'll notice that there are, one, two, three, four, five subjects for open for consultation at the moment. And then you'll see the different columns. Call for comments that started on the 9th of September, for example, here on the DNS Risk Management Framework Report. The call for comments closes, then there's a vote announcement. The vote opens for 5 days, and then the vote closes, and hopefully the date for submission takes place right after the vote, right after the vote has taken place. If you go into one of these, let's go on one that we've recently closed. Let's take the Community Priority Evaluation Guidelines update from ICANN. So you open this up, and you've got a page here that Matt has built and that has got all of the information that we had before on the prior page, and it's got a copy of the actual public comment request which was made by ICANN, and then the different reports that were to be commented on. And then here, if we go a bit further down first, we start with a final draft. Let's start with the first draft. So Rinalia Abdul-Rahim here picked the pen and started drafting a first draft on this. And then there were commentaries afterwards. People commented on it. So actually, Rinalia put it in the comment. That was copied over to the main body of the page. And then we had other people who came on and said whether they agreed or not. So Carlton Samuels said that he agrees with it. Salanieta might have agreed or changed a few things or added some more. I think she might have added some more points to the statement. And I said something. And then Tijani Benjema added something as well to this. Sylvia Herdland later added the Lacorallo statement to it. Salah responded to it, etc., etc. As you can see, there was a whole discussion that took place there and on the mailing list as well. And that gave rise to a final draft. And this is the final draft version to be voted upon by the ALAC. So the ALAC voted on this, and then that became a statement after this. And this is where we have the statement that's here. If I can close this. I hope you can see this. And that's the format of the statement. So you've got the introduction, the staff introduction, with a quick summary of the points that have been put on there. And then the second page is the actual statement with the introduction and the different points that we are making. It's important to note that in the staff input, this is staff introduction, there is in there on the 6th of September 2013, staff confirmed that the online vote resulted in the ALAC endorsing the statements, and we've got the full voting results. And if people wish to find what the vote was, they can click on this. Unfortunately, I'm for some reason unable to click on that, but that will take you to the Big Pulse vote results. It also shows you exactly how things were built on that statement. Leon, you have raised your hand. Please, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivia. Well, I'm wondering if there's 15 ALAC members, how can a statement be ratified only by 11?
Ah, that's a very good point. Good question. Right, so there are 15 ALAC members. Sometimes our members are on holiday or unavailable and end up not voting in a statement. In fact, at the moment, we're down to 14 ALAC members because one of our ALAC representatives from Afralo has just been offered a job by ICANN, would you believe it, and ends up doing the same thing as what he's doing, what he's done before, but gets paid for it, which is terrible. But yeah, you know, it's great for him and well done to him. But Yaobi Atahun has been hired by ICANN. So we're down to 14 members at the moment. But yes, in that particular vote, some people did not vote. All of the votes are open. In other words, when you click on this Big Pulse link, the link that's over here, you would find out who has voted and who has not voted. Sometimes it's because people are on holiday or they're unavailable when the voting period is going. remembering that the voting period is only 5 days long. It's not very long, and sometimes you might miss a vote. We discourage, of course, people from not registering or votes, because the more votes we have, first thing, we have an obligation to have a quorum, so we do need to have more than eight people, well, eight people or more that would vote. But then at the same time, we also need to have to show strong support for our statement. So if only eight people vote, or if there are votes against a statement, or then I guess the reader, often the board members or the people asking for the consultation, will think that there's really not much of a consensus if the votes are very split. But we only have eight. We only have 11 votes in this case because some people didn't vote. They were probably away or unable to vote at the time. Okay, thank you. Now let's see what do we do now. Do we go back here? Stop sharing for the time being. What else do I have to show you on this? So that's the policy development page, which was very, very important. And I encourage you to look at it and I think, I guess, for a while you'll probably be looking at the past statements, see how we draft them and put them together. We've got a wide variety of pen holders, and I really look forward to seeing your name in that column. Yeah, assignees and RALOs. I really look forward to see you guys pick up the pen and, you know, sort of draft statements. Maybe not the first month, but with time. And you'll see that there's quite a range of people that do that. You don't need to be an ALAC member. So if you know of any anybody in an at-large structure that would like to pick the pen, that's fine as well. That's the first thing. Now, the next thing is the working groups. And let's see if I can go into the working groups. Hopefully it's on there. We've got quite a number of at-large working groups in place, and that's because there are so many different things going on at ICANN simultaneously. It's practically impossible for one person to follow everything that's going on, except, of course, if you're insane like me and you don't have a life outside of ICANN. But in general, if you do have a life outside of ICANN, it's better to stick to some specific issues which you're particularly interested in. And so there are some significant number of working groups there, that all of them requiring more help. The registrant rights and responsibilities is particularly interesting because it deals with the, well, as it says, the rights of the registrants, anything to do with the registry accreditation agreement and the registrar accreditation agreement. A lot of legal stuff going on in there, so Leon, you might be interested in this specifically. The future structure, accountability, and transparency of ICANN is a forward-looking strategy group that recently hasn't done very much, but was a key constituent to put together a paper looking at which direction both at-large and ICANN could go when it continues growing the way that it is growing. An important part of the work we do is capacity building to get our at-large structure representatives to learn more about ICANN. And so the at-large capacity building working group is working specifically on this. I just realized I made a mistake. At-large working group on future challenges is pretty similar to the future structure, accountability, and transparency of ICANN. I think this is the same working group. This probably needs to be updated. The IDN policy, if you're interested in internationalized domain names, so the Chinese script and Arabic script and the Cyrillic script, as you might or might not know, there are non-Latin character scripts that are going to be used in new generic top-level domains. And that raises a number of issues. So we have a working group that looks specifically at that. The working group is very strong at the moment on the Chinese character scripts. We do have, I must say, some weakness in the Arabic scripts. So, Rafid, you might or might not be interested in this. Who knows? But I just wonder.
We've got a group on the new GTLDs. That's also very important because I guess that's the big thing at ICANN at the moment. So we have a working group that deals specifically with this. We have the technical issues group that deals only with technical issues. The Who Is Policy working group, because Who is a very, very big chunk of a problem because of the fact that it as far as at large is concerned, we do believe that having a reliable Who Is, reliable database of domain owners brings more legitimacy legitimacy, I guess, to a domain name and certainly to the Internet. We're particularly concerned about the law infringement in domains that are registered by Father Christmas or whatever imaginary name that could be done out there. There's a lot of work going on in ICANN at the moment on two levels. You'll learn about it in the future. There's also a subcommittee on finance and budget, very important. We have to file, proposals for additional requests of funds that we might need to send people or to work on a specific project that would need funding. Often the funding is involving traveling to a location or involves bringing people together and having secretarial support and the various types of projects there. So if either of you is good in finance and strategic planning as well, then I would recommend you join that working group as well. And we've got a subcommittee on outreach because capacity building is in reach. It's basically bringing the people inside our community up to the level at which they can be operational. But we also need to look for new at-large structures. We've only got 158 of them. We need more. We're not covering every single country in the world, and our aim is to be able to have at least one at-large structure in every country. We're still quite a distance from that, so that's why we've got this subcommittee that has to think of ways to do more outreach and be able to find more people in there. There's a new GTLD metrics task force. There's a GTLD metrics task force, there's a metrics working group, there's a few here. In fact, we might probably have to clean up on some of these because I think some of these are out of date. But effectively, they're all working quite hard on various different levels. The rules of procedure working group is pretty much finished with its work. That's when we just redrafted our rules of procedure. The new GTLD's review group is also finished with its work because that gave rise over to the objections process that we had that we've set up. The metrics is very important. Since the arrival of Fadi Shahadeh in ICANN, he's been trying to really get a better way to measure the return on investment across all of ICANN, and I guess as one of ICANN's communities and parts of ICANN, we also need to really find out what our return on investment is. Now, of course, it's not like any company where you basically build a product and then sell it and find out what the return is on that, but the working group here is going to try and find metrics to find out how we all perform, whether the chair performs, whether ALAC members perform. We're only 15 people to bring the input from the whole world, so it's particularly important that we actually do what we say we do, and that working group, I hope, is going to come up with a good set of metrics. There's a few more further down that are very important. First, the ICANN Academy Ad Hoc Working Group. That started out as a purely at-large based working group, and that was then extended as a cross-community working group with people from the rest of the community joining. That gave rise, as one of its deliverables, or its first deliverable, gave rise to a leadership course that you, gentlemen, are going to be among the first guinea pigs to test in Buenos Aires. So it will be interesting to see how well that group has worked, and you'll be the recipient of this. Effectively, it's a course that will teach you everything and anything that you've ever needed to know about ICANN so as for you to be operational from day one. In theory, that's what it is. We'll see what it does in practice. And then we've got the summit, at-large summit to organizing committee. And Leon, you were in Mexico City, so you might have seen the first at-large summit that we had then. There were a lot of people that have joined at-large and that became really operational from the time they attended the ICANN meeting face-to-face in Mexico City. The next one that we've managed to have, and it's finally been voted just a few days ago and ratified by the board because it's a significant sum of money, is going to take place in London in 2014. That will bring our 158, probably more by then, more than 158 at-large structures face-to-face in London, and there are a huge number of issues, of course, with this. First thing is, what are we going to tell them? What are they going to do? There needs to be a program put together, a capacity-building course in the lead-up to this summit also needs to be put in place. So our at-large structures the representatives don't just arrive and start getting bored after the first 5 minutes because they can't understand half the acronyms. It's just a huge amount of work until then and a very short amount of time. The working group at the moment, the summit organizing committee, is putting together a survey that will very soon be sent to all of our ALSs to find out what they would like to discuss when they meet face-to-face. But there are many different facets to this organizing committee, and it's divided into six or seven subcommittees as well. So I think that both of you would be highly encouraged to join at least one or two or more of the sub-working groups of the at-large summit, plus the others out there. If I haven't put you to sleep yet, or if you haven't put the phone down and thought, this is insane, I'm out of here, I open the floor for questions, and you're very welcome to speak. And I might have dropped out.
Very much, Olivier. Well, I think questions will be rising all the time. And, we'll be just asking the staff and you directly if we may.
Okay, excellent. Well, I'll give the floor now to Heidi, because undeniably I always miss things. I say the stuff that I like doing, and then afterwards there are a lot of things that I haven't said yet. So we'll keep you for another 5 minutes if you can, and I'll let Heidi take over.
Thank you, Olivier. Yeah, I'm very conscious of the time. And again, many thanks for spending your first hour and a half with us for the ALAC. I think this has been really useful. Just to speed up a little bit, because you are going to be coming to the ACSO orientation in Buenos Aires, we hope. I've already put the link into the outreach workspace. So that, again, contains a lot of the information that we sent in our introductory email to you, including the beginner's guides, which I encourage you, if you haven't yet read them, to do so. There are also documents. The slide deck is in there, other slide decks. All of the RALOs have regional brochures in the various languages relevant to their region. There's also an at-large brochure in the six UN languages that you can use for outreach. So feel free to start doing that already when you go to various meetings. Moving on to next steps, if I may, Olivier?
Absolutely.
You know, we've covered this a little bit. Again, if you click on that link, and let me just go ahead and put that into the workspace. In addition to the website, which Olivier showed you that you can get from the main ICANN website or the at-large website, that's the ICANN website for Buenos Aires, the at-large group also has their own website or wiki page, and that's what that is. And so we're starting to populate that with all of the meetings, particularly for at-large. And this, again, is basically changed almost at the last minute. So that's a key page that you may wish to bookmark as well. Moving on then to the course, you will have received the invitation to the two parts, or basically it's four parts of the leadership training. The two main parts are the facilitation skills training that takes place on the 13th and 14th. This is being held by an outside team by Insights Learning, and a person named David Colt is going to be leading that with some staff facilitating that. That's more for leadership skills. It's not really content of ICANN, though some of the facilitation and the case studies will include the ICANN context. There's going to be the ACSO leadership orientation on the 15th and 16th, and that's going to be, again, as Olivier mentioned, that was developed by the Academy Working Group, which is a cross-constituency working group. It includes members from all of the APs and SOs and SGs, stakeholder groups, and that's going to be your introduction to all of the APs and SOs with a lot of time for interactive discussion between the APs and SOs, so you'll be able to get to know everyone, break down the silos that still may exist, and just a good networking and introduction time for you. So I hope that you can confirm your participation in those. I know it's going to be a very busy 2 weeks. These are pilot programs, so the timing will be considered. We are hearing a little bit of concern that it might be just too long for 2 weeks, but since this is the annual general meeting and a lot of people are coming in, this is really a key time to make sure that you're onboarded correctly. So that's what that leadership training is going to be about. And I think that's basically it, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Heidi, but I need to reprimand you for using an acronym, ACSO. What is that?
Sorry? That would be Advisory Committee and Supporting Organizations. So again, ALAC is the Advisory Committee. Supporting organizations are the GNSO, generic names, supporting organization, the CCNSO, Country Code Organization, et cetera. And you'll learn all about all of them during the two-day course.
The few-day course. Thank you very much, Heidi. And yes, there is an alphabet soup that goes on with ICANN. And if you feel lost about some of those acronyms, don't worry. Many of us around you are equally as lost as you are. So it's no worries. If you have any questions or any comments or anything that comes to you afterwards, don't hesitate to email me or email staff. You'll soon enough, I guess if you can attend the ALAC call at the end of this month, you'll get a better idea of how things go forward. I don't expect you to understand everything that takes place. I can tell you initially I thought this place was a madhouse because the people just spoke for so long about some subjects that I had no idea about. But soon enough you pick it up and you pick the gist of the discussion, and then before you know it, you're the one holding the pen and you're the one leading the discussion. So I do hope that you will find this experience in at-large very positive and very fulfilling. I must say a lot of people started a bit slow, didn't quite know where to go, and then when they found out some subjects that they were interested in, they really managed to move things very far, and it was great to work with them. So I guess maybe one of the first things you'll really have to look at also is to make up your mind as to which working groups you'd like to join. And soon enough, you will soon be basically integrated and in action. Oh, to join a working group, the two-day course, you're signed up automatically. So that will be all, that's all done already for you. With regards to the working groups, just drop a note to the staff email address, staff@atlarge.icann.org, and they'll subscribe you to the mailing list. I think we've gone through the full list. As I said, any further questions, don't hesitate to email. I'm here to be able to answer your questions, and staff as well. And soon you'll receive your travel arrangements from constituency travel. And before you know it, you'll be on your way over to Buenos Aires. Any last questions or comments? Matt, have we gone through everything as well?
Hi, this is Matt for the record. I think you may just want to point out the beginner's guide if you haven't already.
Yes, Heidi. Thank you, Matt. It's Olivia speaking. Heidi has mentioned the beginner's guide. I haven't got a link to this, but maybe we can send you...
I'll pop it in the chat. No need.
Okay. Excellent. Super. And that's pretty much it. I'm sorry it took an hour and a half. It's very difficult to go through all of the things that we do in 1 hour. But I hope that it's been a fruitful call for both of you, and I really look forward to seeing you in action. I'm really, really thrilled to have both of you as NOMCOM selected appointees to the ALAC. You bring new blood to this community, and it's important because sometimes we tend to talk a lot among each other and end up losing sometimes sight of the bigger picture out there. And so having new people coming there and telling us that maybe we might be wrong or we might wish to amend the way that we do some things is always very welcome. And with this, I thank you both. Thank you, Leon. Thank you, Rafid. Thanks to staff for having endured my 1.5 hours of rambling. But I hope it was helpful for all of you. And therefore, this call is now adjourned. Thanks, everyone, and bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.